Conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
Facilities in Iran, Fordo, Natanz, and Esfahan, in order to destroy or severely degrade Iran's nuclear program. And as the chairman of the Joint Chiefs will demonstrate, it was an incredible and overwhelming success. The order we received from our commander-in-chief was focused, it was powerful, and it was clear. We devastated the Iranian nuclear program. But it's worth noting the operation did not target Iranian troops or the Iranian people. For the entirety of his time in office, President Trump has consistently stated for over 10 years that Iran must not get a nuclear weapon. Full stop. Thanks to President Trump's bold and visionary leadership and his commitment to peace through strength, Iran's nuclear ambitions have been obliterated.
Hello, and welcome to another broadcast of The Jim Benson Show, conservative news and commentary addressing the issues that concern you here on the BBS radio and television network. With all that's been happening with the Iran war, I've been trying to, what's the expression, wrap my head around the situation to better understand these events and where they may lead us. As of this broadcast, the U.S. has been moving military assets to the Middle East, and there has been a great deal of speculation that the U.S. will shortly join with Israel in attacking Iran. Although a major policy goal has been preventing the fanatical jihadist mullahs regime in Iran from getting nuclear weapons, which Israel's Prime Minister Netanyahu says they are very close to doing, the principal focus now seems to have shifted to complete regime change in Iran. President Trump has pivoted from wanting to keep the U.S. out of direct involvement and has called for unconditional surrender of the remaining Iranian regime leadership. It's in a very interesting development. Three of Trump's biggest supporters, Tucker Carlson, Alex Jones, and Steve Bannon, all with huge online audiences, have been expressing fears about U.S. intervention in the war against Iran and its prospects for a widening conflict, which could spiral into a regional and even global conflict with Pakistan, China, and Russia coming to Iran's aid. And that this could ultimately become a nuclear conflict and even World War III. Alex Jones has been saying the Iranians actually already have nuclear weapons, but other than his unnamed sources, there has been no evidence of this, if you can call unnamed sources evidence. These three major American political commentators keep cautioning Trump, who up to this point is not committed to any unilateral U.S. military action against Iran, from giving in to demands by the neocons to directly intervene militarily. In case you don't know what a neocon is, these are adherents to the doctrine of neoconservatism, which advocates a hawkish, interventionist U.S. foreign policy. Added to all this are fears about disruption in world oil and energy supplies, and U.S. military involvement and regional, if not global, escalation, costing Trump the U.S. economic recovery and beginning economic boom, and even eroding Trump's political base to the point where the communists, globalists, Democrats, and RINO, that's Republican in name only, forces could be able to regain control of the U.S. government and reverse MAGA domestic policies, plunging the U.S. back toward a world government-driven socialist hellhole overrun with third world migrants and enslaved under the world government totalitarian tyranny. From my perspective, I think Trump is being Trump and raising to our opponents the specter of U.S. military intervention on behalf of Israel. I'm not saying Trump is bluffing, but he may well be gambling he can affect the geopolitical changes he's seeking without drawing the U.S. into a disastrous global military conflict and even a world war with use of nuclear weapons, which most likely would mean the end of human civilization. With these things in mind, our video's selection for today's program will focus on two subjects. First, the recent Anti-Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, riots by the political left meant to derail the U.S. voter-mandated removal of the millions of illegal aliens deliberately poured into the U.S. under the criminal and traitorous Biden regime as part of the left's plot to collapse U.S. society and civilization and impose a Marxist globalist takeover. And secondly, the most recent events as of this broadcast relating to the Israel-Iran war and their implications. The first two video clips today are from The Alex Jones Show, June 10, on his Infowars.com website, and a related video from Infowars' The Bound Report by John Bound. These are dealing with the obviously well-planned and financed anti-ICE riots and protests nationwide of late. I have read that Hillary Clinton's pal, John Podesta, and others in the Biden administration handed out hundreds of billions to leftist non-government organizations, that's NGOs, between Trump's election last year and his taking office in January this year, including hundreds of billions to newly formed NGOs. At least some of the money is believed to be being used in financing these violent protests, along with other money dispersed to NGOs by a mysterious tech billionaire communist living in China. The third clip is White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt giving a press briefing June 11 on the protests and riots. Clip number four is Dr. Steve Turley's take on the anti-ICE protests and riots, including commentary on the bizarre murder of the former Minnesota House Speaker and her husband by Governor Tim Walz's appointee. Though the left has been trying to portray the alleged murderer as a Trump and Infowars fan, there is significant evidence he was involved in working with illegal African migrants, and the victim, a Democrat, had recently voted with Republicans to cancel health care for illegal aliens in a budget bill. For more on this perspective, check out the YouTube channel Jesse, I think that's J-E-S-S-E-E, on fire, Jesse on fire. It's important to remember that mass illegal immigration is key to the Marxist takeover of America, so ardently being worked and hoped for by the communist Democrats and their allies. As Elon Musk has said, the idea is to create a permanent poor underclass to take and keep political power and impose the longed-for Marxist revolution on America. Video clips numbers 5, 6, and 7 are commentary by Alex Jones from his show June 16 on the Israeli-Iran conflict, a CBS News report June 17 about the latest developments of the conflict, and another piece by Dr. Turley June 17 on his YouTube channel with his own commentary on the war.
Hour number two, ladies and gentlemen, a big special guest to cover all these major world events coming up at 6 after. Remember, you're the Paul Revere's. Share the live feeds now from Infowars.com/show and Relox Jones on X.
Infowars, tomorrow's news, today.
If you actually look at the social organization that's putting out these flyers, it's a Party for Socialism and Liberation, which is, and I kid you not, the actual Communist Party. So
we are forming a select team of the toughest dudes in the area. The unit will be activated only when the situation demands it.
The Communist Party USA, funded by the Democratic Party and the actual CCP out of Communist China, I'm about to show you all the videos and documents in a moment, is literally saying the beginning of the overthrow of the United States officially begins this Saturday, June 14th. Now, John Podesta's war games this. This is all on record. They're really planning to do this. And when there's a federal response, there's got to be, they're going to call Trump a dictator. They're going to stage false flags against these big, violent mobs and demonstrations and blame it on Trump supporters. This is the big one I've been warning you about for years and intensely the last 6 months. I even predicted in January that it would all start in June, timing it out, but now they've officially said it. This is extremely important information. Now, Congresswoman Anna Paulina Luna sent a good breakdown on it. Other folks have gone out and found where they're organizing and paying thugs to be part of these rapid reaction forces. The mayor of L.A. has admitted it as well. This is the big one. They're losing control here. Everywhere else, they're going to make their move, and it just builds up from here on out. L.A. is just the detonator, as I again predicted in January, just 6 months ago. Now, we've exposed this. A lot of people are aware of it, so there's a good chance that it's not going to get off the ground. But as you've seen, they think they're so above the law and they're being empowered, it could get really, really, really bad. They plan to collapse the economy and then try to drive Trump from office. The movie they produced 3 years ago that came out last year, Civil War, is basically a dramatization of near future events they want to carry out if Trump ever got back into office. This is the official John Podesta battle plan that I've covered ad nauseum. This is not a drill. This is the big one. All previous attacks, the Summer of Love 2020, was just a beta test. So again, we're about to lay all of this out right now. And under this report, we'll file a John Bound report, re-detailed all of this and shows the documents, the different NGOs and your taxpayer money that is bringing you this, but also some CCP money that's officially run by the Communist Party USA and the Socialist. This is their big move. God bless you all. Now get this information out because it's critical to stopping their operations and exposing that they are the traitors trying to bring down this country. They are the enemies of this republic. Let them burn American flags, saying death to America, a coalition of Black Lives Matter, communists, Mexican supremacists, and others. We're all in this together. God bless you all.
We can't be intimidated. We've got to get the people out. We've got to get the elected officials out. We've got to resist him.
And all you got to do to defeat this thing is to admit there's no way out of this but to stand up to it. Police, both local and federal, have been put in this position as the bad guys, drawn out after putting up with months of all sorts of provocation that so many people that either are operatives or aren't smart, that are fake populists, have like, home is not doing enough of a job. They ought to be out these demonstrations cracking skulls. No, it's a trap. Home is doing the right thing. They know it's a trap. They're going to escalate to burning and killing and stealing and looting to make them come out, because they then have to. And then when our defense forces come out, they are going to be set up with a false flag. They are going to mow down hundreds of people and blame our duly elected constitutional federal government.
They're overwhelmed as far as the number of people out there engaged in this type of activity. And the type of things that they're doing, they'll take backpacks, and the backpack will have a cinder block in it. They have a hammer, and they'll break up the cinder block and use that, pass it around to throw at officers, to throw at cars, and throw at other people.
Come after me. Arrest me. Let's just get it over with. Tough guy. You know, I don't give a damn. But I care about my community. I care about this community. The hell are they doing? These guys need to grow up. They need to stop. And we need to push back. And I'm sorry to be so clear, but that kind of bloviating is exhausting. So, Tom, arrest me. Let's go.
It could turn very volatile if you move law enforcement in there in the wrong way and turn what is just a bunch of people having fun watching cars burn into a massive confrontation.
We can't have this in our city. Los Angeles is a city of immigrants where 50% of the population is Latino. A percentage of the populations are from Asian countries and from all over the world.
If immigration raids had not happened here, we would not have the disorder that went on last night. I will tell you that it is peaceful now.
This is about a global struggle against imperialism and capitalism.
Yes.
But we know that all of that is happening in the context that where we now stand is stolen, occupied Mexico.
Yeah. U.S. Ambassador turned legal hatchet man Norm Eisen. He called the Trump administration an autocratic regime, and we have tools to displace autocratic regimes around the world in people-powered revolutions. And this was the man who basically spearheaded nearly every lawfare push against Trump world for the past 8 years, for everything from the Trump impeachment to the J6 impeachment, sued the Trump administration hundreds of times and You know, he was the former U.S. ambassador to the Czech Republic for President Obama, and even wrote a playbook basically on how to orchestrate color revolutions against populist movements that were rising in Europe while he was, you know, at the Brookings Institution just a few years ago. And he's openly calling on live television to take that same playbook for overthrowing foreign governments and to find a way to implement it here.
You're going to jail, bro. What's the matter?
Officer, this gentleman is harassing me.
I'm not harassing him. I'm asking him questions.
Meet the most influential power couple you've never heard. The Bride, director of protest movement Code Pink, has a long history in extremist left-wing public activism. The Groom, though a multi-millionaire software mogul, is a radical Maoist who cut his teeth affiliating with various radical Marxist-Leninist groups in Detroit. But why should we care about the eccentricities of a far-left millionaire and his activist wife? Because they are marshalling their considerable resources and networks to do the bidding of some of the most anti-Western forces on Earth and to cause chaos around the world.
Congratulations to all the absolute geniuses out there in L.A. attacking federal agents. All that blue no matter who garbage you've been brainwashed with, that just don't matter no more because you're a felon now. You can't vote. You can't own a gun. You can't even get a decent job in most cases. All because you want to look tough in front of an ICE.
Trump came out and said, we're not bending the knee. In a new statement, we're going to double down federal forces, including the Marines. Because you got a communist, globalist, deep state uprising that is happening right now.
Good to see you all. What we have seen transpire in Los Angeles, California, in recent days is shameful. Left-wing radicals waving foreign flags viciously attacked ICE and Border Patrol agents as well as Los Angeles police officers. These criminals injured police, threw rocks at police cars and officers, burned vehicles, shut down freeways, and lobbed Molotov cocktails, all because the Trump administration was removing violent criminal illegal aliens from the city. These attacks were aimed not just at law enforcement, but at American culture and society itself. Rioters burned American flags, chanted death to ICE, and spray-painted anti-American slogans on buildings. But President Trump will never allow mob rule to prevail in America. The most basic duty of government is to preserve law and order, and this administration embraces that sacred responsibility. Democrats like Governor Gavin Newsom and Mayor Karen Bass shamefully failed to meet their sworn obligations to their citizens. They didn't have the courage to do the right thing and protect law-abiding Californians from rioters. That's why President Trump deployed the National Guard and mobilized Marines to end the chaos and restore law and order. The mob violence is being stomped out. The criminals responsible will be swiftly brought to justice. And the Trump administration's operations to arrest illegal aliens are continuing unabated. When the initial immigration enforcement actions took place on June 6th, Mayor Bass took to social media to say she was deeply angered by what has taken place. Mayor Bass then embarked on one of the most outrageous campaign of lies this country has ever seen from an elected official, blaming President Trump and brave law enforcement officers for the violence. She accused heroic American immigration and customs enforcement officers targeting illegal alien murderers, rapists, and pedophiles of, quote, sowing terror in communities and disrupting basic principles of safety in our city. Around the same time, Governor Newsom claimed that immigration enforcement actions were causing chaos. That's how radical Democrats have become. Their opposition to President Trump has forced them to side with illegal alien criminals in their communities and violent rioters and looters over law enforcement officers who are just doing their jobs. Mayor Bass and Governor Newsom fanned the flames and demonized our brave ICE officers. Instead of defending their city and their state, Karen Bass and Gavin Newsom claimed that in order for the riots and the violence to stop, ICE needed to leave and immigration raids must end. In other words, the position of the Democrat Party is that the federal government is not allowed to enforce our laws and to arrest and deport illegal alien criminals. They're attempting to use a violent mob as a weapon against their own constituents to prevent the enforcement of immigration law. This is deeply un-American and morally reprehensible. President Trump received a clear mandate from voters to reverse the illegal invasion ushered in by Joe Biden's open border and to end the lawlessness represented by Karen Bass in Gavin Newsom's California. President Trump promised to carry out the largest mass deportation campaign in American history, and left-wing riots will not deter him in that effort. Sanctuary cities and states will no longer be allowed to shield illegal criminals from deportation. Just take a look at some of the illegal monsters who were taken off the streets in Los Angeles in recent days. A Vietnamese national, a known gang member with a conviction for second-degree murder. A Mexican national with convictions for child molestation who was armed with a dangerous weapon and had previous arrests for robbery and domestic violence. A Filipino national with convictions of rape, assault, burglary, and theft. A Mexican national convicted of statutory rape, narcotics violations, and hit and run. A Nicaraguan national with convictions for domestic violence and hit and run and a previous assault arrest for willful cruelty to a child. And an illegal alien from Mexico who was arrested after allegedly throwing a Molotov cocktail at law enforcement officers during the Paramount riots on Saturday. He is now being charged with attempted murder. Law-abiding American citizens do not want these public safety threats living in their communities, no matter what Democrats like Karen Bass and Gavin Newsom may claim. And let this be an unequivocal message to left-wing radicals in other parts of the country who are thinking about copycatting the violence in an effort to stop this administration's mass deportation efforts. You will not succeed.
Let's start with the most delicious irony of all. Now, while these protesters were screaming out, "No kings, no kings," and claiming Trump is some sort of dictator, guess what was happening in the Hamptons? Alex Soros, yes, George Soros' son, was getting married to Huma Abedin in what the New York Times literally called a, quote, American royal wedding. I mean, you cannot make this stuff up, gang. On the very day they're protesting against supposed royalty, the liberal elite are literally throwing themselves a royal wedding complete with the Clintons and Kamala Harris in attendance. The cognitive dissonance is stunning. These are the same people who think Trump having a military parade makes him a king, but apparently having a wedding that the mainstream media calls royal is perfectly fine with these people. And it really all just went downhill from there. Let's talk numbers, because this is where it gets really embarrassing for the left. The organizers are claiming that they had over 5 million participants nationwide, but when you actually look at the footage, it tells a completely different story. So, for example, in Bloomington, Illinois, organizers had to literally tweet, "More crowded than it appears," because their own photos and videos showed how pathetically small their crowd was. Now, needless to say, when you're making excuses for your crowd size and your own promotional material, let's just say things aren't going very well. And, of course, there were several Florida scheduled No Kings protests that were all canceled because of lack of interest. Even more telling is what happened with Trump's military parade versus these protests. While the left was desperately trying to counter-program against Trump's 250th Army anniversary celebration, which was awesome, Trump's event drew extraordinary crowds. All the while, the far left protests looked more like neighborhood block parties. Now, of course, the legacy media desperately tried to spin this as a victory for the protesters. But once again, like with the fiery but mostly peaceful protests in L.A., you can't gaslight the optics. The optics told the real story over the legacy media spin. Speaking of, here's where the peaceful protest narrative completely fell apart over the weekend in Salt Lake City. I'm sure you saw this. A No Kings protester actually at one point took out an AR-15 style rifle, which prompted members of the event's peacekeeping group to actually end up, they opened fire on him, accidentally killing an innocent bystander. And that violence wasn't isolated. In Seattle, Antifa militants set up anti-ICE blockades, they set fires in the streets, and violently assaulted a journalist by the name of Cam Higby, punching him in the back of the head, kicking him in the leg. Again, there could not have been a more stark contrast with the regalia and the honor and the celebration that marked the military parade in D.C. Of course, in L.A., protesters threw rocks, bricks, bottles, and commercial-grade fireworks at law enforcement officers. In New York City, at least 10 people were arrested as protesters waved upside-down American flags and Palestinian flags. In Portland, violent mobs stormed an ICE facility, launching fireworks and smoke grenades at federal officers. And among the more subdued protesters, you had people like this.
I'm just so scared. I'm 74 years old. I worry about everything. And I just am so scared and upset. And I don't understand why people voted for this person.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is your brain on MSNBC for 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's what happened. That is literally the kind of creature that the legacy media creates. So fascinating that someone who claims to be standing up for democracy has such contempt for who the voters overwhelmingly voted for. Ironic. Now, of course, no left-wing protests would be complete without your obligatory Hollywood turnout, which was particularly pathetic and revealing. You had the mentally deranged Mark Ruffalo showing up, claiming Trump was a king and a dictator. He's like Kim Jong-un. He was like Vladimir Putin, completely missing the irony that were Trump actually a dictator, Ruffalo wouldn't be allowed to protest at all. Yeah, John Cryer, yeah, Jimmy Kimmel speaking of crying, and a number of other washed-up liberals showing up to virtue signal to their shrinking liberal audience. Again, remember, these are the same celebrities who live in gated communities and have private security, all the while lecturing regular Americans about democracy. Perhaps the most telling moment came from Congressman Jamie Raskin's speech in Philadelphia, in my backyard here. On Flag Day, the day we celebrate the American flag, Raskin chose to speak in front of a prominently placed pride flag instead of the American flag. And the optics were so bad that his own social media post, it got over 11,000 replies mocking the choice. So this perfectly encapsulates the less priorities. On a day meant to honor our nation's symbol, the symbol that is civic nationalism at its core, to brings all the diverse members of the American population together in a single unity, instead, this Democrat chose to prioritize his woke ideology. And there were a number of former Democrats who were commenting on X that this image perfectly embodies why tens of thousands have chosen to hashtag walk away. Brandon Straka, God bless him, hashtag walk away from the party. Moreover, the timing of these protests simply could not have been worse for Democrats. As many of you know, while they were out there claiming Trump is a threat to democracy, an actual politically motivated assassin named Vance Luther Bolter was on a killing spree in Minnesota, murdering Democratic state lawmakers that had previously voted against Democrat legislation. So this suspect was literally appointed to Governor Tim Walz's Workforce Development Board, creating a massive embarrassment, obviously, for this feckless Democrat governor. So while Democrats were staging theatrical protests about imaginary threats to democracy, real political violence was happening in their own backyard by someone connected to their own administration. But finally, nothing, and I do mean nothing, tops the sheer stupidity of staging anti-Trump No Kings protests in London, England. I mean, just think about this for a second. I mean, they organized a protest against American kings in a country that literally has an actual king. I mean, the cognitive dissonance is so extreme, it's almost impressive. It's why they had to rename the protest the No Tyrants protest, because, sorry, I just think most people see through it. And I got to say, I think that perfectly summed up the entire No Kings movement over the weekend. A bunch of people so blinded by their TDS, their Trump derangement syndrome, that they can't even figure out what country they're protesting in. At the end of the day, the No Kings protests accomplish exactly the opposite of what they intended. Instead of showing unified resistance to Trump, they showed a fractured, violent, and increasingly desperate opposition that can't even organize a coherent message. They managed to stage protests that were simultaneously boring and violent. They claim massive numbers while producing pathetic visuals, and they literally protested in foreign countries while claiming to defend American democracy. Meanwhile, Trump got exactly what he wanted. Wall-to-wall coverage of his military parade, contrast footage showing the left's extremism, and proof that his opponents are more interested in theater than in governing. The No Kings protests were not a show of strength. They were a political suicide note written in crayon. And frankly, as a conservative, I couldn't be happier about it. Keep it up, Democrats. 2026 is going to be a bloodbath.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. Visit InfoWars.com/show and support the InfoWars.
It's Tuesday, June 17th, 2025. And Trump is planning to attack Iran the next 48 hours. This is horrible news.
InfoWars, tomorrow's news, today.
We are entering the 148th day of the Trump administration and what was the rebirth of our country and the republic. But as I and many others warned, it would be the Ukraine and Israel slash Iran crises that could sabotage all our hopes and dreams. And from all the indicators I see and what's happening, I expect the United States to strike Iran massively as early as Thursday and as late as early next week. But I would imagine when I see the movements going on and the nuclear launch codes that anybody can see being sent out, but they're scrambled to the submarines, to the bombers, and to the ground forces that have ground-based missiles. Those are nuclear launch codes and targeting codes. And that's called taking the safety off. And I will assure you, the public's not being told, but the DEFCON has been raised. 2 weeks ago, Russia raised its and sent targeting and launch codes to the submarines. This is a lot bigger than just Iran. So everybody that thinks we trigger Armageddon early, Jesus comes back, no, you're just going to get the Antichrist. But that doesn't matter. I guess everybody just wants to die, so I understand. That's more trendy. That fits into your neocon eschatology. Here's President Trump telling the Iranians to evacuate Tehran.
Fox News alert, Donald Trump leaving the G7 early and returning to Washington, where he's requesting the National Security Council be prepared in the Situation Room after a deadly weekend in the Middle East. In Israel, 24 fatalities, 600 wounded. The death count even higher in Iran, 224 dead and counting. Iran retaliating by firing over 370 missiles at the Jewish state, but Israel's hitting back harder.
Ooh. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Oh, you
those you have there.
Here is the real bottom line. This was never about Iran not having nukes or ballistic missiles. This is about regime change. And now, starting yesterday, as soon as the co-president Netanyahu said, no, we're not doing peace deals, we're doing regime change, all the Fox News hosts began to click their heels and say, yes, regime change, regime change, regime change. So that will push the mullahs in Pakistan, that's been making a lot of threats, to the next level. And I'm telling you, Iran's already got nukes. So Gabbard goes off the assessment she's given. Well, that's always been kept out of the assessments, but I can tell you, and I've been telling you for at least 15 years, because I know. And I'll just stop right there. Saudi Arabia has nukes. Pakistan has nukes. Israel has nukes. Iran's got nukes. And now that they've got missiles that can penetrate Israel's defenses, that's why Israel's doing this. And I'm not defending that either, because the CIA overthrew two different Iranian governments that were pro-Western and helped put the mullahs in so they could have an enemy. So it all started with the West and the regime change and this project to destabilize the Middle East. It really kicked off hell with the British 100 years ago. But it really accelerated with Operation Ajax in 53. So it's a lot bigger than just Israel starting this. This is part of a larger long-term British Empire model. That doesn't take any of the blame away from Netanyahu. It's just you need to know the big picture. So it's on, folks. We are in the most dangerous point in world history right now. We'll be right back.
As the fighting intensifies and enters the fifth day, today President Trump told reporters he wants Iran to give up any thoughts of developing a nuclear weapon. The president unexpectedly left the G7 summit in Canada early, saying he wanted to monitor the conflict from the U.S. Dorian Small brings us the very latest developments now from Washington, D.C.
President Trump cut short his trip to the G7 summit and returned from Canada for a White House meeting with his national security team.
Not having to use telephones so much because I don't believe in telephones. Because people like you listen to them.
The Trump administration says the U.S. is not involved in the ongoing airstrikes. Israeli military jets continue to pound targets inside of Iran. And President Trump posted on social media, "We now have complete and total control of the skies over Iran." Satellite images show direct hits on Iran's uranium enrichment program in Natanz.
Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. Very simple.
President Trump says the U.S. knows where Iran's supreme leader is hiding, but said America will not yet take him out. Trump added that his patience is wearing thin. Some on Capitol Hill say they're concerned American forces could be drawn into the conflict.
The president has shown restraint in the past. The president's instincts are good, and I'm hoping the president will not get involved with the war. I think if the United States actively bombs Tehran, the possibility of negotiation goes out the window.
Trump says he just wants people to be safe, and he posted a warning for people in Tehran to get out of the city. Thousands have been doing exactly that for days now. Torian Small, CBS News, The White House.
Hey gang, it's me, Dr. Steve, your patron professor. Welcome back to the channel. In this video, we're going to be exposing the high-stakes game being played with Trump's presidency and America's future. I'll show you the regime change plot in Iran, the neocons pushing for war, and why this crisis could shatter Trump's coalition literally overnight. Now, if you're tired of the same old lies that we got us into Iraq and Afghanistan, hit that subscribe button, because this is the video the establishment does not want you to see. Also, we're not just fighting an information war. There is another war that's happening that many of us don't know about, and it's in your gut. There's a battle between good and evil bacteria going on inside you right now that can determine the health of the whole of your body. And here's how you're going to win that battle. Kimchi One from Brightcore Nutrition is the fermented superfood your body needs to arm the good guys with the right weapons to defeat the bad actors once and for all. All health starts in the gut. So putting the right fermented superfood in your gut improves every aspect of your health, your heart, your brain, even the quality of your skin and the growth of your hair. Containing over 900 strains of beneficial bacteria in each capsule, Kimchi One supports healthy digestion, fortifies your immune system, and helps detoxify your body. Kimchi has also been shown to reduce risk of obesity and promote smaller waistlines by curbing appetite and naturally boosting your metabolism. Kimchi One is all natural, non-GMO, dairy-free, gluten-free, and 100% made right here in the USA. Today, you can get an exclusive offer by clicking the link below. Just use code TURLEY for 25% off your entire order. Or for an even better deal, call my friends at Brightcore for up to 50% off your order and free shipping. Give them a call now at 888-897-0233. That's 888-897-0233.
Steve, a nuclear Iran is an unacceptable threat of seeing an atomic bomb detonated in the skies of New York or the skies of Los Angeles. And so our commander-in-chief, President Trump, I don't think he's going to allow that risk. We are going to demand the centrifuges, the nuclear capability be dismantled, and they either do so willingly or they'll be dismantled unwillingly.
The political establishment and legacy media are pounding the war drums as we speak, demanding Trump stand with Israel and launch strikes against Iran. The basic argument here is that Iran is currently facing unprecedented vulnerability and pressure on multiple fronts. So if ever there were a time to eliminate their nuclear program, it is now. This is due largely because of Iran's main regional proxies, Hezbollah and Hamas. They've both been severely diminished in the two-front war by Israel, as well as the Houthis in Yemen. Hezbollah's effectiveness has been dramatically reduced. Hamas has been forced largely underground due to the IDF offensive. Internally, a large portion of the population is supposedly restive and dissatisfied with the Iranian regime. The sanctions, particularly on Iran's oil exports, which have strained the country's economy and further isolated it diplomatically, are taking its toll on the whole of the population. And so the point is, if ever there were a time to take out Iran's nuclear capabilities, it is now. But there is a counter argument to that, a very important counter argument. We talked about this in our video yesterday on the current state of the war. And that's the collapse of Israel's strategic doctrine of escalation dominance. Very important to make sure you understand what's really happening here. So historically, Israel wins wars very quickly by responding to attacks by Hamas and Hezbollah with disproportionately greater force, thereby deterring future aggression and retaliation. And while this approach is historically served Israel very well, analysts are noting that Israel's doctrine of escalation dominance has recently begun to fail. The conflicts in Gaza and Lebanon have gone way beyond the time frame that escalation dominance tends to dictate. And so this failure signals a fundamental shift in regional power dynamics that undermines Israel's traditional deterrence strategy. And this is making Israel desperate to try to lure the United States into this conflict, since United States forces would make up for that escalation deficit that Israel is currently experiencing. Moreover, we're finding increasingly that Israel's strikes on Iran aren't about defense. They're about regime change. They're, in effect, kill chains. Israel's decapitation attacks have eliminated 14 Iranian nuclear scientists and top generals. And then we're being told at the very same time that this is going to cause the Iranian regime to collapse. But again, we were told the very same thing about Russia. We were told the Russian economy was collapsing. It's stronger now than ever. We were told that Putin regime was collapsing. Heck, we were told that Putin was dying of cancer. And it seems we're witnessing the exact opposite in this case as well. The brutal reality is that Iran's government does not appear to be collapsing. It's been around for 40 years, and its structure is relatively intact. It's very strong. The Iranian military remains very loyal to the regime. That's what the entire military structure is there for in Iran, to protect the regime, which they see as holy. They see it as sacred, as the sole true head of the Shiite global world. It appears that Iran's population is not rising up. They're largely rallying behind the regime. Again, exactly what we saw with Russia. And again, counter to these claims of Iran buckling, the Iranian retaliation has actually been rather fierce. Their missiles are hitting deeper and deeper into Israeli territory, breaking past their Iron Dome defenses, exposing the myth of invincibility. And now we're getting reports that Israel's begging Trump for help, even claiming that Iran was behind two previous assassination attempts against Trump, which would be an act of war. And they also appear to want to try to force Iran to close the Strait of Hormuz, which would trigger the 1980 Carter Doctrine, which would force the United States to take military action against Iran. But let's not forget America's last Middle East adventure at the behest of the neocons, right? The Iraq War, which cost us trillions. That's right. You heard that right. That's a T, trillions of dollars. And more importantly, it cost us 4,500 American soldiers' lives. And what was the result of all of that? ISIS, chaos, and a betrayed public. So the lesson here, regime change is a fantasy, and Trump's base knows it. I don't care how many lectures we get on Fox News. Bottom line, the data does not lie. Our good friend Rich Barris of Big Data Polling, the most accurate pollster of 2024, he's finding that the polling is very, very clear. Voters, especially Trump's base, do not want the American military to go to war in the Middle East. Voters do not want the American military to go to war in the Middle East. A recent Quinnipiac poll found that 71% of Americans oppose more Middle East wars, including 63% of Republicans. Even evangelical support for Israel has dropped 12 points since 2020. And Trump's base, particularly working class voters in Wisconsin, Iowa, Michigan, Pennsylvania, they are absolutely dead set against us. They want us to bring our troops home, not to Tehran. Bring our troops home, not to Tehran. And Rich Barris, as well as Robert Barnes, they had a very good episode yesterday on Rich's podcast. They were arguing if the past is precedent, right? If history is normative here, the political risk for Trump is huge in all of this. Just think of how George Herbert Walker Bush won the Gulf War but ended up losing re-election, or how LBJ's Vietnam disaster handed power to Nixon, or how Truman's involvement in Korea handed power to Eisenhower. In other words, if past is precedent, if Trump starts this war, it does look like he will face at least some significant revolt from the very same voters who stormed the polls in 2016 and 2020 and 2024. So we have to then ask, who on earth would benefit from the collapse of just such a coalition? Well, of course, it's the same people who are pushing Trump into this war trap. It's the neocons, the usual suspects, Lindsey Graham and the like, demanding overwhelming force and comparing Iran to Nazi Germany. And we have to stop Nazis, don't we? It's the Pentagon bureaucracy. You're still mired in a Cold War mentality, and you are largely beholden to military-industrial complex stockholders. And, of course, it's the legacy media, most especially the neocons of Fox, who are busy framing neutrality as abandoning our allies, knowing full well that a war with Iran would destroy the MAGA populist coalition, which is exactly what they want to do. But the key here is that the MAGA base isn't just skeptical. They really are, frankly, furious. And you're seeing it online. You're seeing it in the forums and the surveys. You're seeing it among the influencers. No more wars is the number one issue for 55% of Trump voters under 45. Trust in Netanyahu has collapsed to under 40%, around 39% among conservatives. 67% believe the United States leaders care more about Israel than they do about Americans. 67%. Even Trump's closest allies are breaking ranks over this. Tucker Carlson is calling this push for war insanity. Steve Bannon is warning this war will destroy Trump's legacy. Now, the good news in this, the good news is that Trump is very responsive to his base. I mean, we just saw this with the reversal of his order for ICE to stop raiding farms and factories. He openly reversed that, especially after we're seeing a flood of American citizens apply for those jobs. So while political wonks might find that kind of reversal inconsistent on Trump's part, I think they call it strategic ambiguity. I think it reflects Trump, the businessman, Trump, the entrepreneur, who has this keen business sense. He floats a trial balloon, or in business terms, he beta tests an idea. And if the customers, i.e. the base, don't like it, then he pivots, just like a good businessman or entrepreneur would. And so I think he's very acute to the sentiments of his base and very receptive of where they are. Again, loyalty is the number one attribute that Trump values, and it works both ways. So if his base makes enough noise, historically at least, he listens. And in the end, I do believe that Trump will navigate the perplexities of the situation in such a way that is faithful to his MAGA base, who have been so loyal for literally the last decade since he came down the escalator in June of 2015. So when all is said and done, though, all of this said, the stakes really could not be higher. If Trump starts this war, he flirts with economic disaster, he flirts with a coalition collapse, and he flirts with the destruction of his legacy. But if he says no, he solidifies his America First brand, he exposes the deep state, and he positions himself as the first real peace president in generations. The choice is clear, and his base is watching.
For those of you who hoped Trump's historic re-election last year would mean a prolonged period of peace and prosperity for America, which we all fervently hope for indeed, as you can see, the struggles to save our freedoms and bring about true peace and prosperity are far from over. We all need to stay alert, stay focused, and stay in this fight. And as I always point out, peacefully and legally. That's all for our show today. As always, we hope you found today's content of interest and value. You can watch and or listen to a podcast of today's show when it's posted shortly here on The Jim Benson Show pages at bbsradio.com/The Jim Benson Show. And elsewhere, including rumble.com, x.com, and Apple Podcasts. My pages on x.com are at James B. 50309177. If you visit my pages at bbsradio.com/The Jim Benson Show, scroll down on my index page there and check out our related videos section. Look for us again 2 weeks from today with another edition of our show in the same time slot. And have a great rest of your day and evening.